Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Mike Rowe joins the program about a really important new film he has coming out. Then Colby Jenkins, who's running for Congress in Utah, joins us. Finally, what if I told you that we do not have a single county in Pennsylvania or Arizona that votes as Republican as downtown Philadelphia does? That's a problem. We need to run up the score in our safest, reddest areas and make it bright red. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. And become a member today, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Joining us now is the legendary Mike Rowe. Mike has a very important announcement to share with us. Mike, welcome back to the program.
Charlie, thanks for having me back. And once again, I will try to live up to the legendary status. It gets harder with every passing day.
I'm putting the pressure on you to do that. So Mike, tell us about your new project here, Something to Stand For. Tell us about it.
It is it's a movie. It's about 2 hours long. It consists of nine short stories that I've written over the years in the style of the late, great Paul Harvey, who, as you know, had a great radio program in the 70s and 80s called The Rest of the Story. They were mysteries and history combined. So you'd learn something you didn't know about somebody you do and try and figure out who Paul was talking about over the course of the tale. So I've written a few hundred of those stories for my podcast. And for Independence Day, we cherry-picked nine of the most aggressively, unapologetically, and shamelessly patriotic tales we could find. And we stitched them together with a trip to DC, where I visit some of the statues and memorials and monuments that have been built to honor the people that we feature in the movie. So it's not a documentary, and it's not quite Saving Private Ryan. It's something in between. And we're super proud of it and think it's just what the country needs to see during these extraordinary times.
I love it. And it's beautifully shot. The cinematography is awesome. Let's play the trailer. It's about a minute long. It is Something to Stand For dot movie. Let's play cut 19, please.
My name's Mike Rowe, and this is Something to Stand For. A film that celebrates a few extraordinary Americans who risked everything to build the nation we call home. Americans who gave us something to fight for, something to be grateful for. And today, all these years later, something to stand for.
I thought I'd take a trip to our nation's capital, not too far from where I grew up,
to reacquaint myself with the memorials and monuments built to honor the people in this film. In other words, it's a field trip.
And I'm glad you're along for the ride. Assuming the old truck makes it. It's going to be fine.
It looks terrific. So, Mike, tell us more about the project and give us a little teaser of some of the stories you highlight here.
The project happened, honestly, because the headlines a few years ago seemed to indicate that our country was struggling, or at least confused, about when to stand and when to kneel and what to feel good about and what to feel grateful for and what to feel guilty about, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the stories in the film is called Something to Stand For. In fact, it's the last story. But all of them really redound to a rumination on gratitude. Because honestly, Charlie, you know, I think part of what I didn't write this for liberals or conservatives or Democrats or Republicans. I wrote it mostly for people who see themselves as Americans first and foremost. And the challenge was, well, what can all Americans agree is still within our grasp? What can we do that is still inherently apolitical? And my feeling is gratitude. Gratitude, like work ethic, is a conscious choice. You're not born with it. You know, it's got nothing to do with the color of your hair or your skin or your eyes or your star sign or your blood type or any of that other stuff. It's a thing we can all choose to be. And I think that we have a much easier time as a species when we're fundamentally grateful. It's not always easy, but it's always in our best interests to try and come together through some shared commonality. And being Independence Day, I thought that was the thing that I wanted to lean into. As far as teasing the stories, it's tricky, Charlie, because they're all mysteries. They all have a surprise at the end. But by way of example, I'll tell you, I write about a guy who, you know, pretty famous guy, who was challenged to a duel one morning, pistols at dawn over a question of honor. And what this guy did was he understood that if you're challenged to a duel, it's up to you to accept or not. He had to accept, but it's also up to you to choose the terms. So he said, okay, if we're going to do this, let's do it, but not pistols at dawn. Let's do it like men. Let's do it with broadswords in a pit. And so a pit was dug, and hundreds of people showed up to watch these two men enter this pit and hack each other to bits with broadswords. But what happened instead is one of the most extraordinary moments in our history that very few people talk about, that ultimately saved the Union. So that's one example of telling a story in an inside-out way that'll hopefully keep people entertained and at the same time make you want to know more about the subject at hand and hopefully instill a measure of gratitude that wasn't there before the movie started.
And when you do projects like this, I'm sure you're constantly learning and absorbing. What did you learn about the country or our history that you didn't know before you embarked on this project?
Now, that's a great question. I would first say that one of the great virtues that I know you've experienced firsthand going to colleges as you do and doing what you do is a sense of curiosity. You either have it or you don't. And you can develop it for sure. It, like gratitude, is also a choice, but it's so lacking today, Charlie. And we're so long on certainty, short on humility, and short on curiosity too. My point is, it's a lot easier to be humble if you're fundamentally curious, because to be curious is to say, I don't know. Let's go find out. And what I found out in shooting this movie was actually very personal. It's not that I learned a bunch of things I didn't know about the people in it or about our country. I learned some things about myself. You know, I learned that going back to DC and spending some time on the National Mall and talking with park rangers who wake up every day to clean the graffiti and the filth off of our statuary, that's powerful. That's a kind of public service that you don't see much in the press. I also learned that, you know, it's funny, most of my career in TV was all about unscripted moments. We didn't have a script on Dirty Jobs. We never did a second take. Movies are different. They're very, very intentional and they're super deliberate. And mm-hmm. I was filming a scene at the World War II Memorial about halfway through this process. And it was a very specific moment. I had to hit a very specific X on the ground and look into the lens and say a very specific thing. And as we were preparing for that very intentional act, out of the corner of my eye, I saw an old man in a wheelchair being wheeled in with a few other old men in wheelchairs. His family was there and volunteers. It was an honor flight. And they were all parked in front of that wall of stars. And they were crying, sitting there, you know. And I said to the director, hey, man, let's go over here for a minute. Bring the camera. Which is crazy if you're making a movie. You don't have any time to waste. And that's not how you make a movie. But we went over and the cameras followed me. And I met a guy named Andy Michael, who told me a story about his service in the Korean War. And as he sat there contemplating all the sacrifice that had been paid on his behalf, tears streaming down his 91-year-old face, I learned that he and my dad had fought at the same time in the same battle. Now, that's just weird, Charlie, and that is utterly unscriptable. And when it happens, you have to decide, you know, are you going to put that in your movie or not? Are you going to let something random replace something you wanted to do on purpose? For me, the answer is you better believe it. So an old man named Andy Michael pops up in this movie.
We have that picture, actually. We could throw that picture up on screen. It's amazing. And we actually see you kneeling down. I think that's the dialogue you're mentioning.
That's
here.
Exactly it.
Yeah.
Look, is it hard for you to go to sleep? I could tell you, I have done one thing that has changed my ability to fall asleep. Ever since I started adding Magnesium Breakthrough to my nightly routine, I've been able to quiet my mind and get the best sleep ever. Once I started taking Magnesium Breakthrough, my sleep completely changed. Now I have no problem falling asleep and waking up refreshed and energized. For me personally, Magnesium Breakthrough has helped solve my sleep problems, from winding down at the end of a stressful day, to tossing and turning, to waking up groggy. Magnesium Breakthrough has been a game changer. Unlike other magnesium supplements that might give you one or two forms of magnesium, Magnesium Breakthrough contains all seven forms of magnesium, designed to help calm your mind, help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. Over 75% of the population is magnesium deficient, and what most people don't know is that if they're taking a magnesium supplement, they're still deficient if you're not getting all seven forms. Don't miss out on the most relaxing sleep ever with Magnesium Breakthrough. For an exclusive offer for my listeners, go to magbreakthrough.com and type in Kirk to save 10%. Nurture your mind and body with this all-natural, full-spectrum magnesium supplement. Simply go to magbreakthrough.com, use promo code Charlie during checkout to save 10%. magbreakthrough.com.
Mike, we'll show this image on screen. If you want to just complete that story of the spontaneous moment, there it is up on screen. Please continue, yeah. Mike Rowe.
So that's the World War II Memorial, and I was there shooting a stand-up for a movie called Something to Stand For, which is going to be out next week. And I had a plan, and then I saw that guy, 91 years old, Korean War veteran, sitting there looking at the wall of stars in the memorial and contemplating the price that had been paid for his freedom. And yeah, the whole movie just goes off the rails. I go over and start talking to him. The film crew follows me. 20 minutes later, we're still talking. And I learned that that old guy fought with my dad in Korea, same time. And here he was for the first time in his life with his family at the World War II Memorial, searching, I think, for the same thing, Charlie, that we're all searching for on some level, you know, a more meaningful connection with our past, a better understanding of our present, and just an opportunity to be truly grateful and reflective. And that's the goal of this whole movie. And the fact that we were able to find it in a totally unscripted moment with that guy just goes to show that sometimes the biggest enemy, you know, of a good plan is a perfect plan. Best to play the cards you get.
I love it. It is Something to Stand For .movie. Mike, I want to just get a quick thought here. As you know, I visit colleges and I get asked a lot about my stances on colleges. And I still, the number one question I receive from parents of high schoolers is, but Charlie, my child will not be able to find any good job or a paying job, and employers will not hire them if they do not go to college. I know you've addressed this so many times. I think it's important to, you know, really stay on this. What is your best answer to that objection, Mike Rowe?
Those parents are scared, and they're scared for good reason. Nobody wants to screw up their kids. And unfortunately, there is no one-size-fits-all playbook for how to raise your kid and which direction to encourage him or her to explore. The biggest enemy that we face, in my opinion, regarding our educational system, is the one-size-fits-all policy. And for 40 years, we've been told that the best path for the most people is the path of a four-year degree. Unfortunately, it's not only untrue, it's the most expensive path. And the reason we've got $1.7 trillion in debt on the books right now is because we have promoted that path at the expense of all the others. And now we're forgiving billions of dollars in student debt, which will do absolutely nothing to incentivize the universities to lower their obscene tuition. And so we're living in a time when we don't know what to stand for vis-a-vis education. And why would we? Because in 1955, a degree from Harvard, the average GPA was 2.5. Today it's 3.9. And yet, there they sit on top of a $52 billion endowment.
Wow.
Watching as plumbers and steam fitters and pipe fitters and electricians pay off the debt of their graduates. It's an affront to common sense, and Americans are seeing it. So to answer your question, my advice is don't give cookie cutter advice. Make sure your kid looks at all the options. Make sure they understand the consequences of crushing student debt.
Well, and it's far too often parents will say, yeah, you know, no two kids are the same, but every one of my kids must go to college. It's a walking contradiction. Something to stand for. Movie. Mike Rowe, excellent work. Thank you so much.
It's only in for a week. Starts on the 27th through the 4th of July. Appreciate it, Charlie.
Terrific. Thank you. This is really important. I can go through this later in the hour. The need to run up the score in the rurals. I spent a couple hours, not on Shabbat, yesterday. I had some time traveling back and forth from the Whatever podcast. You would be amazed when you hear that Donald Trump could do even better in the rural parts of the country. If I asked you, in the ruralest part of Arizona, Yavapai County, what percentage of the vote does Donald Trump get? You'd say 60%, 70%. Yeah, it's like 60%. Do you know that the Democrat areas far overperform a percentage basis than our rural areas? We think we're fine because we win places by 40, but guess what? We could win them by 50, and that's the difference maker.
Our friends at Noble Gold are doing something I haven't ever seen before. Noble Gold and Kevin Sorbo have teamed up to provide a free 7-part masterclass that they're calling the Economic Crisis Toolkit. This free series offers video training on asset protection strategies and how to discover growth opportunities during economic crisis. These are tools that host Kevin Sorbo breaks down in 7 easy-to-digest economic classes. Learn to simplify economic concepts and give yourself the personal tools to find potential weak spots in your portfolio. All combined, it's over 1 free hour of premium content dedicated to you becoming a more resilient investor, no matter what future financial challenges may arise. Helpful investor tips narrated by the Hercules that Hollywood canceled, Kevin Sorbo himself. Sign up right now to gain free access. Register to unlock the class at wealth.noblegoldinvestments.com. Visit wealth.noblegoldinvestments.com.
Joining us now is Colby Jenkins. He is a congressional candidate in the 2nd District in Utah. You can check out his website at colbyforutah.com. Colby, welcome to the program. Tell us about yourself and your race.
Hey, thank you so much, Charlie. What a privilege and honor to be here with you. I really appreciate it. Yeah, so we are Utah's 2nd Congressional District. Our primary is actually tomorrow, and voters in Utah have their mail-in ballots in hand right now. They've had them for just over 2 weeks. And so anyone within the sound of my voice who has a family member living in Utah, specifically the 2nd Congressional District, please call, please text them and encourage them, 1, to vote, and 2, to vote for me, for us, ColbyJenkins4Utah.com.
So tell us about your race. What are you standing for? What type of leader will you be in D.C.? And what do you think is the main problem? Are you going to be more in the kind of transactional Republican wing of the Republican Party, or more liberty-focused about curtailing the size and scope of the federal government?
Yeah, more of the latter, Charlie. What you're going to get and what my voters will get from me is what they've gotten for 31 years already, and that's service to this nation. I am a combat veteran, Green Beret. I swore an oath to support and defend our Constitution more than 3 decades ago, and no one has relieved me of that oath. And I look forward to now continuing that service to defending our Constitution, not compromising on it, but actually standing up and defending it, like Senators Mike Lee, Rand Paul, Thomas Massie, Chip Roy, and others are doing in Congress I'm looking forward to reinforcing their efforts and not being a Republican who steps away from the Republican Party, like my opponent Celeste Molloy has done time and time again, and join the Democrats in voting to pass omnibus out-of-control spending bills that do nothing more than support the Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer policy agenda. That's not what my constituents are hiring me to do. They are hiring me to control spending, not to fund everything that the government comes asking for. And so that's what I'm looking forward to doing, standing up, defending the Constitution, controlling spending, and actually voting like a Republican should. That's what we're looking forward to doing.
So Colby, let's take the vote for money for Ukraine. Would you be in favor of more money for the Ukrainian war effort or slowing down the amount of money we spent to Ukraine?
Zero. That's an easy answer. Zero. I would vote for America first. Before we have any supplemental spending bills on the floor, I would look to America first. What are we doing to close our border? What funding are we sending to close our border? Not funding more processing facilities, which is what this last omnibus bill did and my opponent supported. I'm going to actually fund to close the wall, to close the border, build the wall, turn off those incentives that are attracting such mass illegal immigration to our country. We need to put America first, not just in word, but actually in deed. And that's where you'll find me, falling on the side of America first before sending another dollar to the black hole, the money laundering that's happening in Ukraine.
Well, I love that. Why do you think that Republicans are so cautious at slowing down the funding of foreign wars and foreign conflicts? And thank you for your clear stance on that. But why do you think that is?
It's business as usual. You know, the establishment wants to protect that business as usual. And we are seeing it just in my race. We've seen the Speaker of the House. We've seen the other three members of Congress, not Senator Lee, but the other three House members circle the wagons around my opponent because she's a pliable vote. She's gotten in line and voted as the speakers demanded that she votes every time. We want to spend more money for everyone else. Get in line and I'll vote. That's what my opponent's been doing. And that's what too many Republicans have been doing. And we wonder why we find ourselves marching towards $35, $36 trillion in debt. It's very interesting that the Biden administration could not wait to get out of Afghanistan. And before the dust has even settled, we're already running to a new conflict. We're already spending hundreds of billions of dollars into a black hole that is the Ukraine. And don't even pause to understand, well, what did we just come from in Afghanistan? And what fraud, waste, and loss of human life happened there? And now we're already running to get ourselves in another mess. That's not where you're going to find me. You're going to find me there asking questions and asking why.
And talk about your military service. I mean, you love the country and you've served it. A lot of veterans, when they go to DC, they have a different approach than what you have. They actually want to fund the next war. They want to get us into another conflict. You've been endorsed by Mike Lee, Rand Paul, Vivek Ramaswamy, Senator Tuberville, the House Freedom Fund. And I think having a veteran's voice to slow down this foreign adventurism is critical right now.
Yeah, you bet. Who better than to sit in the chair on the other side of the dais, looking down at those in uniform or those in suit and tie and asking why? Why are we marching to the sound of guns again? I'm a combat veteran Green Beret. I've served in combat. I've led a team of Green Berets in Afghanistan and in South America doing counter drug and hostage rescue operations. I actually worked in Washington, D.C. as a Green Beret liaison to Congress. I worked in the Senate for a while and then the House before being a senior advisor in the Pentagon for more than 4 years. So this will not be my first rodeo. I've seen how the sausage gets made in the Pentagon bureaucracy. So I'm excited to have the opportunity on behalf of my constituents to ask the questions, why? And to say, I don't think so. Or even better to say, that sounds great. That's solid policy that aligns with what we as conservative Republicans should support. Or to say, no, that's not okay. And so for me, you're not going to get the rubber stamp vote that you're seeing from the establishment, from the uniparty. And that's why Senator Lee, Senator Rand Paul, and others like them who've stood in the trenches defending our Constitution, who've stood and are already asking these questions, why are we doing this as a nation? They're with me. They're looking for someone else to reinforce them, to not just send the same old Republicans that will fall to the establishment like my opponent has and be a rubber stamp and just send it on down the line, business as usual. That's not what you're going to get from me.
Well, I think that's terrific. Another crisis looming right now is the southern border. Talk about your focus on what's happening with the illegal immigration in this country and what you would fight for in D.C. to help slow down the invasion.
Well, we all agree that we need legal immigration. At the end of the day, we're all immigrants in some way, shape, or form. So we need legal immigration. But what we don't need is what we've had for the last 3 years. And the solution for the border begins with reelecting President Trump. Leadership matters. And then having legislators who can stand shoulder to shoulder with the new Trump administration and remove those legislative obstacles that are impairing us from turning back on Remain in Mexico, ending the catch and release program, stop funding new processing facilities. That's what the last omnibus bill funded. It didn't fund closing the wall. Chip Roy even called that out, saying this bill does nothing to secure our wall or our border. In fact, there was actually a $500 million earmark that supported the government of Jordan and their border and their national security. Imagine what we could have done with $500 million going to our border. Those would be the kind of questions that I would be asking and actions that I would be pursuing, not being a rubber stamp like my opponent was. And now she joined every Democrat passing that $1.2 trillion omnibus bill. That's not where you're going to find me. So I'm going to be funding resources to close and build our wall, actually, and then support President Trump in the executive action that he will put back in place that we've already seen be successful earlier.
Colby, how can people support you and your website here and the call to action? And do I hear this right, that Utah has universal mail-in voting? You guys no longer have polling places. Is that right?
We do have polling places. You can actually go and vote in person tomorrow. But yeah, we have mail-in ballots, and they've been out for almost 3 weeks now. It's definitely a system that needs revisiting. To have ballots sitting out germinating in the general populace for more than 2 weeks is just asking for fraud, waste, and abuse. But so we're asking for anyone within the sound of my voice who has friends or family or who may already be in the 2nd Congressional District of Utah, our district, please vote for us. The ballots are out now. They can vote in person tomorrow. They can go to their county website and find where those locations are. But please vote now. And our website is colbyforutah.com, colbyforutah.com. Let us not be fooled. I am running against the establishment. Speaker Mike Johnson had a fundraiser for my opponent not too long ago in Washington, D.C., rolled out all the usual suspects, circled the gravy train, circled those wagons, but we are still fighting. And let us not forget, I've actually beaten my opponent twice, head-to-head. Here in southern Utah, I beat her by 12%. At our state convention, I beat her by 14%. So the voice in my district has spoken and is continuing to roll. Now we just need that final push to get us across the finish line tomorrow. We welcome everyone's support. The grassroots are mobilized. Phone calls are being made. It's just been exciting. And just, I've been in combat before with real teams, but boy, the teammates and the teams that I've seen now on my campaign side are comparable to those brothers and sisters who I actually fought in combat with. I'm looking forward to having others join our A team as we go to the congressional battlefield.
Tomorrow is the election in Utah. Everyone choose wisely. Colby, thanks so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of this cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly onto you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, and some of you may not even know about it. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel set, $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, their premium MyPillows with the all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. This amazing offer won't last long. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425 today. That is promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk.
So tonight we have an amazing event with Matt Gaetz, Eli Crane, which is his event, Paul Gosar, and Andy Biggs. It's an all-star lineup. Let's put 24 up on screen. Eli Crane for Congress rally in Prescott, Arizona. Matt Gaetz, Andy Biggs, Paul Gosar, and Eli Crane. And we're going to be, I don't know if I'm allowed to share the address because of all the haters. That's right. There are some liberals up there. But if you guys want, you can follow the QR code there. I think we're still taking tickets. Eli's running the logistics on this. Let me just reiterate the point. Philadelphia County in Pennsylvania voted 81% for Joe Biden. Do you know that there is not a single county in Pennsylvania or Arizona that voted 81.4% for Trump? Not a single county. And it's the major issue is that Joe Biden receives major margins out of these areas. So it's not just that he wins 81% of the vote. It's that there is 600,000 ballots he gets out of that. So it's not just the margin. It is the delta that we have to overcome. So we start looking at the state of Arizona. The reddest county in the state of Arizona is Mojave County. That includes Lake Havasu, amongst many other wonderful parts of the beautiful terrain of Arizona, Bullhead City, Kingman, Fort Mojave, and many others. That is the reddest county in Arizona. 75% votes for Donald Trump. Let's play cut 27 up there. That is the reddest county in Arizona. Now, tonight we'll be doing our event in Yavapai County, which is reliably conservative. It voted 63.9% for Donald Trump and 64% for Carrie Lake. Almost identical, by the way. But Yavapai County is very red. It is bright red. There is no reason why Yavapai County should not be 67, 68% in Trump's favor. We are so focused at times on swing voters in swing districts, in suburban areas, that we forget that we can actually go to the lower prop areas in the bright red portions of America and run up the score. In fact, that is the forgotten area. And if you look at the voter registration numbers in Arizona, the places that are getting redder the quickest are the rural counties. Now, thankfully, rural voters actually show up in very high numbers. It's a very responsible culture. People that own property, they take care of their kids. They vote in high numbers. However, not high enough. If we want to cancel out the urban superpower that they have built in downtown Phoenix or in downtown Pima, we need to do events like we're doing in Yavapai County and run up the score. So let's put up another cut. This is cut 28. This is Gila County, the home of beautiful Payson, Arizona, one of my favorite parts of Arizona, and Pine, Arizona, and Strawberry, Arizona. Really amazing folks up there. It's super gorgeous. So Donald Trump wins 66% of the vote. You see, this doesn't get a lot of examination because we just consider it to be normal. Trump wins 63, Trump wins 64. What difference? It makes a huge difference. If we were to pour money and resources, which we are doing at Turning Point Action, say, why can't we get to 70%? Why can't we get a single county in Arizona or Pennsylvania that is as red as Philadelphia is blue? That should be the goal. And that is 81.4%. Philadelphia voted for Biden at 81.4%. Now, mind you, there's a lot of fraud, a lot of nonsense, a lot of ballot chasing, a lot of stuff that happens there. But why can't we have Gila County get up to 70%? Mojave County is close to form, to be perfectly honest. Put 27 up. The fact that Mojave County goes up to 75%, it's good. Now, if you're looking for a task or a purpose, maybe you should drive up to Pine, Arizona, go into a diner, put on a MAGA hat, a lot of hunters there in the fall, and go register low prop voters. You want to talk about fish in the barrel? Go into Payson, Arizona. Go to Prescott, Arizona. Go to Lake Havasu with a MAGA hat, and that will be a lot better territory, easier harvest, if you will, than Scottsdale or Glendale, which are all very important. What I'm getting at is we have been propagandized to believe that swing voters are the only thing that matters in these elections. And I'm here to tell you that they matter, but not nearly as much as people would act, as it actually does in the final election results. So tonight we have this great event with Eli Crane in Yavapai County, where we need to win by more in the bright red areas. We need to run up the score. We should pursue a dual approach, not forget the swing voters, but also The rules need to roar. Run up the score in the rules. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.